It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
All right, here we are again. The number to call this program with your sufferings, which are easily cured if you're willing to look at yourself, as very few people are. Who has it said, narrow is the way and few are those that find it? Well, I found the way, and I'm willing to show it to you. I can't force it on you, and I will not persuade you in any way, shape, or form. I'm just going to sit here and talk a little bit and invite you to, you know, into a discussion, like we're sitting in a party together, and I don't know about drinks, but, you know, but I usually make myself the center of attention a little bit. I know how to create a conversation and set the pace of it, wherever I've invited, and rather than the other way around. Usually the conversation is nothing. You know, I don't know, sports and usual stuff, sex and... you know, I haven't been to a party for such a long time, but I'm just making a point. Sitting next to a person in an airplane. Hello, my name's Roy, you know, and that sort of thing. And sometimes people are not very conversational, and sometimes they are. And then before you know it, well, 3 hours have gone by and we're landing. And there it is, and we've made a good friend. And that person's learned something, and I've learned something. I'm always trying to... Well, the word trying is a bad word. It's my natural way to be outgoing and sort of look for chinks in everybody's armor in a way. And I mean, the defense mechanisms. I've got defense mechanisms. I have that. You don't understand mine. I understand yours. You have I know how to get through those defense mechanisms. And of course, now there's the defense of what's wrong with you. That's your defense mechanism. Have you ever made an excuse, for example? Okay, I've said that many times on this program. Excuse is the worst kind of sin. It's bad enough to do a sin, whatever that is. But when you excuse it, or excuse somebody else, a friend of yours, make them feel comfortable and not speak up to them, that's the worst of all. But so this excuse is a defense mechanism. And of being offensive before anybody else can hurt you, to intimidate someone is also a defense mechanism of a coward. And so let's have it this evening. How many cowards we got out there? And there's all kinds of cowards, but there's one kind of coward that's very dangerous to us right this minute. You've got cowards on the right and you've got cowards on the left. You know? But right now, I'm concerning of the liberal kinds of cowards. I'd like you to call me if you're a liberal. If you're really a liberal, you see, and you hate the war, and you hate war, and you hate the army, and you've got some really strange ideas. I'd love to talk with you. As a matter of fact, you need to call me and challenge me in some ways, because I speak about ladies and women in a certain way, and of course most liberal men are feminine. They're not men at all, and of course they feel uncomfortable around real men, and a certain kind of women that can't handle a real man. They only knows how to deal with the one that's weak for her. So anyway, that's the downfall of the country. So you got defense mechanism going already, haven't you? Defense mechanism. If you have the courage to listen to the program quietly and watch your reaction to what I'm saying, because I'm going to throw word missiles at you. And I'm not going to yell and scream, just going to throw a practice javelin throwing. And I might miss the target and hit you instead. I might be talking to a person and helping them, and then you're listening. So that's sort of like get two birds with one stone. So there you are. So where's your problem? Tell me what it is. I show you how easy it is to fix. You have the mechanism within you that's self adjusting. If you could just get your excuses and your defense mechanism, if I can get through that defense mechanism and awaken you to your potential, now there's the positive side, you see. Call me, 866-8883, and the website is FHU.com. Don't forget that. But the phone number is 866-8883. That's 800 9 to 11. That's live time, and the rest all night is whatever it is. All right, let's go to our calls.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Absolutely. I'm really going to shock you tonight. I'm going to take calls. Absolutely start out with calls. Because I have taken up a lot of time in the evenings, sort of meandering and saying, I think, interesting things and meaningful things. Sometimes I'm on a roll where I can say things when I'm on a roll that I can't say when I'm interrupted with callers. Pardon me, I said that. I'd much rather speak to callers, by the way. But I don't like goosing you, you know. But let's see if we can start with callers and the callers beget the callers. So let's take our first call. The number to call is 800. Write it down, please, just in case you have the impulse and then forget the number. And I have to keep remembering the number, and I forget to remember, if you know what I mean. I just enjoy what I'm doing, so I'm not interested in all the details. And the details are very important, but I'm more interested in getting points across than you know, having cards flash in front of me to tell me, you know, the phone number. And I don't even like doing commercials, but we have to do commercials once in a while to get some income for the foundation so we keep the program on the air. So don't forget that. Donations, thank you. Now we're going to take our first call. 800-866-8883. And 9 to 11 in the evening is lifetime. And other times, 10 to 2 in the morning, XM, 166, and Foundation of Human Understanding website, FHU.com. There it is, and you can find me. And by the way, I want to talk about how to deal with your wife or woman. You know, you've seen the dog whisperer. Well, every woman needs a God whisperer. See? Now, I don't mean to be mean, but it's a very good talk. And if you go to the website, FHU.com, if you've got nothing else to do, instead of drinking and twiddling your thumbs, whatever else, you can watch that. It's high-definition video. It's Sunday morning conversations, last Sunday's. Click, and you're there. Now, let's take our call. Rodney in Kentucky. Hello, Rodney. What can I do for you?
I'm calling concerning my son. His mother passed away in 2007 on Labor Day.
Oh, dear.
And he's having a tough time dealing with it, and it's causing him problems in school.
Well, how old is he?
He's 12.
12. See, that's tough. It's tough for a boy, but and you have to go to work, of course. You have any other children?
No, he's the only one.
He's the only one. How have you dealt with the passing of his mother? That's pretty important, I ask you.
It was tough on me because she had actually cheated on me and left for another man. And a year after that, she passed away. And basically, he was dealing with the divorce, her sickness, and then her passing away too.
So, and how long were you married?
16 years.
You have. So you haven't been terribly happy over those years, have you?
No.
How is your state of happiness now? I mean, how was it? You see, how did you feel? Did you feel joy when she died? I mean, I'm asking very pertinent questions, so forgive me, because...
That's okay.
I have to. Did you feel guilt or grief? What did you feel when she died? Because, see, the only remaining parent is you, and so now he will feel what you feel.
Yeah, I felt grief when she passed away, yeah. It was a little tough.
But how long did the grief last?
After she passed away, probably a couple months. But it was real tough before the divorce. And during the divorce, it was real hard to get over. Yeah.
Let me ask you how you arrived at that grief. Because, I don't know, did you feel guilty when she passed away that perhaps you could have been a better husband or something like that? I mean, what was the machinery in your mind? If I want to probe a little bit, if I'm going to give you an answer to your son, you're the link to him, and I don't know if I can speak to him, but I may be able to help you with him. So that's why I want to probe you a little bit more.
Yeah, I question a lot. What did I do? You know, I really felt like I took good care of her while she was sick, and I did my part.
No, before that, but as a husband. See, the thing is, my wife would be the same way. She would needle me and irritate me and play little games with me, and I would love her. And if anything would happen, but she didn't love me.
Yeah, and she told me eventually she didn't love me.
Let me make my point, and then I'll make this point.
I'm sorry.
See, so in other words, I've spent 47 years with a woman that, I mean, I love her. She's the mother of my kids. But she doesn't learn very easy. She tends to want to play with me and bring me into her world. And if I don't conform to how she thinks I should be, or unconsciously she's shaping me to be by not being pleased with my performance in her mind, you see, then she is irritated and angry. But since I'm strong, and become strong in many ways, I'm not easily manipulated. And there's the frustration with a woman who cannot help but manipulate, but I cannot help not to be manipulated. And so, as a result of that, there's kind of a war, secret war, that goes on all the time for all these years. I'm never moved. If she would pass away, I don't think I'd feel anything. Honest. You know why? I'm not guilty of anything. I told her that. I said, when my mother passed away, I'm going to be open about these things. I'm a book. I learn from experience. My mother passed away. I never felt anything. And my mother was a good woman. She was, well, let me put it this way. She was troubled, but she was decent. She wasn't mean. The only thing she ever worried about is if her boys would take care of her, because my father died, you see. So I was the oldest son at 12. So my mother died. My father died when I was 12, you see. So I'm going to share with you so we can share together and our common experiences, because I know things from my experience. I'm 80, almost 81. And I've learned things, you know, and I'll tell you how I experienced it. I thought to myself, when she dropped dead in front of me in a motel, I was taking her with me on a trip because she'd come from England, and she was always unhappy because she missed her sons when she was in England, and when she was here, she missed her friends, and she went backwards and forwards on the Queen Mary, and then she died in a motel. I was traveling with her because I never would let her be alone. But I looked at that, and I felt nothing. And why would I feel nothing? I didn't hate my mother. I don't say I loved her. Of course, I was taking care of her. I cared. I did care. It isn't a smoochy, smoochy, smoochy care. It is the fact that I took care of my mother. I made sure she was taken care of. And she didn't have a bad bone in her body, but there was something missing. And I don't know what the relationship with my father was. And I'm sharing with you, so hoping to evoke something in you and to make a point. I do not know what my relationship with my father was, because he worked a lot. It was the depression. And he spoke 11 languages and couldn't get a job and could fix anything. But the point is, I don't remember my father very much, but when he died, I've never got over it. I'm 81 years old. And he was a good man. I don't remember anything bad about him at all. I hardly remember him. He was working hard. And I have just fleeting memories of them. But it's even today, I feel a tear in my eye when I see similar circumstances to mine on a television show or something, or hear about it, a story similar to mine, or a boy not having a father, and it has a certain drama around it. When my school teacher said I was evacuated in school in the first part of the war, and the headmaster calls me in the study, and I knew what it was because I had a dream the night before, and so on and so forth. Anyway, back to my mother. I thought to myself, that's not right, not to have a feeling. So I created a feeling. I actually created a emotional feeling, and I made myself ill doing that. Can't do that. It wasn't real. See, so, and I figured out what it is. Would you like to know? See, I think you didn't love your wife at all. See, I love my mother, but there was nothing really in her that was, how can I say that? How can I say it? She loved us like a dog loves its puppies, very, very devoted. But there wasn't no spirit there. She was a good woman, as good as a person could be. My father somehow, it could be reversed. You could have a you could reverse this story and make it the other way around, where the mother has those certain qualities. But there was something about my dad. There was something that was so important, and it's followed me all my life. So important for a dad to be. I don't remember him doing any good. I don't remember him doing any harm. I don't remember my mother doing any great good, except to sort of make herself look, to make the butcher give her more meat rations, you know, to make her feel sorry for it, you know. But to make sure the kids, you know, had good food on the table during the war. And so what was the difference? The difference was that my father had a spirit, my mother didn't. And the father had a spirit just like mine. And when he died, I was still attached to that spirit, but not to the man, but to the spirit of the man that now lives in me. If you hate the father you can see, you'll be separated from the father you cannot see. And unconsciously women, want to turn to they want to, there's a war for your affection. A woman is a jealous god. They don't know they are, but they are a jealous god. And men are kind of addicted to women. Women have a weakness for man's weakness, and men are weak for women. But that wasn't the problem with my father. See? So that wasn't the problem with him. He was a whole man. And he dealt, I don't know how the relationship, but he was not affected by that. He was dutiful, kind, and good. But I don't remember all the kindness and goodness. I only remember his presence. And then I didn't feel the presence, didn't feel it till it wasn't there anymore. Then I felt the emptiness and the pain. And then, but then something said to me one day, that's not your father. And then I knew immediately that my father represented the Spirit of God. See, and even now, fathers are supposed to represent that even if they don't. The trouble is, when they relate to women, their relationship with women but becomes an entanglement with them, which is very unhealthy, and there goes the whole family. See, sir, so here I'm coming with you, you're a father. And so you have a good reason, actually a good reason, not to grieve. But remember this, when I said to my wife, I won't feel anything because it's true. I'm trying to get you to see certain things all my life. I'm dutiful. I care for you. But I see the mistakes, the faults you have, and you hurt people, and my own children. your own children. You can't see it. She won't see it. And so, but not seeing it can be become a great consternation to a man. But I never allowed that to bother me. I learned to deal with it and grow strong, and slowly but surely my kids grew up and saw that in me, what I saw in my father, but I lived long enough for them to see it. See that?
Mm-hmm.
And so the head of the home is the father, and when the father goes, everything goes. Now, ideally, the father should be the head of the home and the patriarch, eventually, of a family. So when you come to my house, it's grandpa's house. It's not grandma's house. Grandma belongs to me. See? We don't go to grandma's house. That's upside down. And I don't mean to be facetious, but there's an order. And that doesn't mean to say ego order. I'm superior to my wife. I'm not. But there's a divine order. Unconsciously, women will always try to break that down. And I had a sense in my mother that she was sort of a clingy time and depended on my father. And there must have been something between, but I never knew it, and it didn't make any difference. My mother was spiritless. But she was good. No harm. But there was no spirit. There was no spirit that's not... In other words, a woman that loves a good... A woman that has a husband, like my father was a husband to her, should have been full of spirit. She wasn't. My wife should be full of spirit, but she isn't. I don't miss her if she dies. Got it?
Yeah.
How come you are broken up with this woman that stepped out on you and you got broken up? Now we need to examine you a little bit, because you see, I only feel for what's mine, what is like me. I don't feel sorry for, I don't feel sympathy for certain people who die. I feel a tear in my eye for Ronald Reagan. Can you believe that? I cried when he passed away, and I watched the funeral with tears running down my cheek. Now, why was that? There was something in that man that is like good, see?
Right.
Like the good in me. Now, we need to find that good in you. The fact that you miss this woman is two things. You are part of her problem. And that's the reason why she ran to another man, because you're not a man.
Right. That's it. What you said a while ago, I was not. Basically, I would have control of the house.
There you go.
After she was gone, you know, I wasn't the head of the house like I should have been. You know?
I know that. But see, now your son has no father because your wife was in control. And your son has nothing to look up to and respect. It should be you.
Yeah.
And had it been you in the first place, she might not have died in the second place. She might not have, and before that, she might not have run off with another man. You're at fault here. And the grieving is phony. I know. So, you just went through that. And you felt guilty for you being a failure, because you know it. Even right now, you know you failed being a good husband to that woman. You don't know that woman might have been a shining light had you been the God whisperer. Every man should listen to the Sunday morning show that I have on the web. It's only going to be up for a few more days. It's called the God Whisperer. Your woman needs a pack leader. So now, do you see where I'm going with this, my friend?
Sure.
So
yeah.
Something. So you, I can't heal your son. You have to find that in you that my father had in him, and if I may say so, Ronald Reagan has within him. But I don't see any other president since then that has it in him. So I really would not. I don't cry for any one of them who dies. I like George Bush. I think he's a nice man. He can drop dead tomorrow, and I won't feel anything, because he doesn't have that real spirit. I cried for Ronald Reagan. I cried for my father. And it's not because it's men, you see, and not because I need a father. I see the spirit, and they leave their mark, and they remind me, they awaken in me the good that and help me to take a grip on it. And your wife, you didn't play the role where your wife, where you had been, she tried you, and you were found wanting. You needed her approval. You needed her approval. You were weak for her love. She was looking, she was testing you to say, no, not tonight, Josephine. That's what she wanted. You were too obligated to her approval to stand up to her expression. And you're son of one. And you're going to have to, but you have to eat that. You didn't expect me to tell you all about my life, and it's all about your life too.
What I want.
And so we don't have to grieve for everybody. I'm sorry. And so, but if you drop dead tomorrow, I won't grieve because you're not anything right now. And I grieve for your son because he hasn't got a father. And so, are you looking for another woman?
Yeah, I'm dating somebody.
Yeah. But that's where you're making a mistake. That's where you're making a mistake. You're making about to make another. You're only interested in your emptiness via fulfillment of another woman. I get it. Your longing is not for your son. You're not there for your son. You can't be there for your son because you're still looking for the woman to fulfill you. And you're going to make a mistake in the second marriage, and your son's going to hate you even more if you marry somebody or have a girlfriend. You have no business having a girlfriend. And you need to tell your son that too, and be with him more.
Okay.
And have and you know what I'm trying to tell you, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Am I right or wrong?
You're right. You're right.
Okay. All right. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes.
Well, will you listen to me again, or do I frighten you off?
Oh no, I listen to you again. Yeah. I've only been in a couple weeks.
All right. Okay.
I found you on YouTube, and I've been on your website since then.
Okay, well, get the meditation and give yourself only to your son.
Okay.
And if you do that, you just forget the women. They're no good to you, and you're no good to them.
Okay.
You just be true to your son and play with him, enjoy him, have fun, and go picnicking and go rifle shooting and go hunting, whatever you want to do. Do things with him. Build something. Spend your evenings with him. He'll be fine. Okay?
All right.
Bye. Well, am I not being honest about this? My wife's listening in the next room. I don't care. I care. I love her. She's the mother of my children. I'm not going to pretend to the world that I have a happy home. Well, I'm happy because you can't take happiness away from me. It's not easy to do. I'm strongly entrenched in that, what you call happiness, but it isn't a feeling. It's a no feeling. I don't have to have a feeling to be alive, and I don't have to have a feeling to be happy. As a matter of fact, if I had a feeling that I was happy, I'd be unhappy. You can feel 10 feet tall, but not be 10 feet tall. You can feel brave, but not be brave. To be stupid. Feelings are illusions. Try to remember that. Because illusions, perceptions of things are always promoted in you everywhere. And if you have an opening for such a service, people will rise to the occasion of it. And the first person in a man's life would be a woman to rise to the occasion to service your stupid little needs. All right. Downfall of the country. That's what you're looking at. I have two books. Adam and Eve Syndrome. That's a really good book, and an Understanding Sexuality. Get those two, but go to the website and download the free CD first so you can understand them. All right, we'll be right back.
If you would like to support the work of Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding, there are several ways to do this. Advice Line subscription. That's a full month of radio shows on one MP3 CD. Receive all 240 shows in a year for only $250. If these shows were bought individually, they'd cost $6,240 a year. How about the Tape of the Month subscription? Edited Cream of the Crop radio shows on CD or tape, $200 a year. Or the Lecture of the Month subscription. CD or tape mailed monthly for $200 a year. Or the website subscription, the best the FHU has to offer. Only $120 a year. Listen and download a full year of shows, plus lectures, videos, articles, and special features. Visit FHU.com right now. That's FHU.com. Or call 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours Monday through Friday. And remember, you can always hear this program by going to FHU.com and clicking Listen Live and on XM Radio.
All right, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. He could admit his more freely, you see. And so there you are. You need to be a kind of person that a person misses in a good way. You can miss somebody that you're addicted to. And jump in the grave with them crying and, you know, and hating them for dying on you. I get all that. But let me give a commercial here. Whatever subject I deal with on this program is designed to awaken you to something inside you that I have known for a long time. But it's hard to share it. Because of defense mechanisms I mentioned in the opening of the program. And you tend to be very defensive about everything. And whenever you are violated, and you're all born in sin, everybody's violated in some way, there's a defense mechanism. There's also a part of you that is willing for it to be broken down. Someone comes along, St. George, and kills the dragon, as it's sort of guarding the maiden in the tower, even though you're a mad knight, that's a good analogy. You're in the tower, and I'm going to try to break that down. But there must be something in you that's willing to have it broken. See, to tell on you, because you're so willing to tell on yourself. If you could just tell someone who wouldn't give you sympathy or curse you for it, judge you for it, I don't. So, go to my website fhu.com. Foundation of Human Understanding, and download the CD, and it's no charge. And if it helps your life, then you support the program. Is that fair? But there's also a pace side. Once you start doing this, there's lots of things, seminars, and videos on the pace side. It's really worth when you're into what I'm doing. It's really something that. It's really into you. I'm helping you to find your way to you, to the real you. That's all. So pace side is valuable, but not necessary. FHU.com. And the phone number is 800-877-3227. 800-877-3227. Tomorrow, business hours, West Coast time.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take our caller now. Wait a minute. I was going to go to David. Go ahead, David.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, David. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. My son just stepped into the room.
Oh, that's all right. You want to hold off, or can you speak?
I can speak kind of a little softly. My wife's in the other room.
All right, fair enough. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. My wife seems like, you know, really close to psychotic, really.
Well, does she degrade you?
All the time.
Yeah. Well, that's nothing unusual. There's nothing unusual.
She does the same thing to the kids. And
oh, you mustn't have never allow it. But if you allow it, then the kids will lose faith in you. I just had to talk to my friend of 31 years. Well, I didn't know him for 31 years. Let me just start a little story with you, as I did with the other gentleman. I have a friend who I'm working with, in a business project, and he's listened to me all these years, and his kids have grown up very beautiful kids, but he's got a very difficult wife. And this evening I learned that she degrades him. You know, he sits in the room with his computer, and then she degrades him, and whatever. She just wants the attention for someone, and damned if you give it to her, and damned if you don't. And he said, well, I just take no notice of it. I said, no, that's the wrong thing to do. I said, this is what you need to do. You look at her firmly, straight in her eyes, you know, and you say, excuse me, you don't talk to me that way. There's the door. And then she raises her voice. I said, there's the door. Now, there's ways. There's nonviolent force you may have to use occasionally. And so, excuse me, but you're not going to talk to me this way in front of those children, nor are you going to talk to those children. There's the door. You take her gently by the wrist and put her outside the door and carry on. And just lock it. Just let us yell and scream. If she starts to yell at the kids, you go out there and say, you get between her and the kids and say, you talk to me now. You must protect the children from that kind of defamation, that kind of degradation. But you cannot tolerate that yourself. You have to be, but you when I say tolerate it, you have to be immune to what's being said to you. That's the key, because she's looking for that weakness for you to get upset and suppress it. My friend was upset and repressed, and he had irritable bowel syndrome from God knows how many years. He was taking $500 worth of medicine. I talked to him a few months ago about something similar, and also about his wife, but he never thought of what I just said to you, that actually you need a little bit more strength than that of an ordinary pack leader of animals. You need to be a God whisperer. You see that? You need to have sort of a merry eye twinkling quality, that never what she says to you doesn't touch you. You see, the only reason why it touches you is because you're dependent on her approval. Your relationship began with giving yourself to her, falling from what love is all about, actually. But giving yourself and getting too close into her, so she got into you. And so that broke the relationship. Whatever relationship you might have had with God to begin with is gone. And now you become degradable. Biodegradable eventually, if you know what I mean. Dead. You cannot allow this. And so, but the thing is, what you've got by looking for love from a woman, which is psychological ego reassurance that you're a man, and so therefore the weakness that's called sex becomes a strength. And the more sex you have, the more you think of yourself as a man, and the more you relieve yourself of the pain of not being one. Is a sort of strange way of saying it, but I think you get the point. These two spiritual forces, the feeling of the rush of being something, is actually turns you into nothing. The rush turns you into mush. And so the sense of worth that comes from a woman or from anything is stealing you from, and they don't talk about this in romance, that's why, but the point is, you don't see many happy couples. You know, not even relationships work. They work just like marriages do. They fail. So you go into another one and they fail again. They always fail. Marriages will always fail. And if they succeed, you live a life of quiet desperation and die. Man or woman. Or both. See that?
Overcome it. I don't want to live that way.
Well, the point is, you are married. And now you've turned, you're no longer a stud. You know, you're no longer sowing wild oats. Now, all of a sudden, the wild oats have become fully grown, and you have a responsibility to bring those kids up. And you have to, you you have to pay the price of those wild oats. You just can't walk away from that, and you can't get frustrated from it. You now have to find the strength to be the man that your wife needs. Your wife is psychotic because you feed yourself to her. You are frustrated. In your frustration, you feel guilty. You try to please her. Nothing pleases her because you don't understand. You are feeding yourself to a lion. You're turning her into a monster, and she hates you for it. And you can't do enough for her. The more you do for her, the more she hates you for it, because part of her doesn't really want you to stand your ground and look at her like the God whisperer. God's whispering through you. And so that nothing you say bothers you anymore, because you don't need her approval. You found the salvation of the Lord. That's what she needs. You remember the story of my father, I said, because there was something in him that when he died, I lost it. It was something profound. But then I found that it was in me. What I loved in him, what was in him, I didn't know that, was in me. I didn't know that about my mother or my father. They were equal at the time. But when my father died, I felt that missing something that was satisfied by something saying, but that's not your father, I'm your dad. It didn't say it that way, but it was a sort of a wordless understanding. I get it. But every time I think of my father in a certain way, I get that connection. It strengthens. Like Ronald Reagan, when he died, I got that same thing. A lot of people had tears. No one's going to die when Jimmy Carter dies. And not even George Bush. Maybe his wife and family will, but not me. But my fancy, a politician dies, and I sense that quality. And we all did. All us kids did. We haven't had a politician since like that. I don't think there's anybody on the scene that's like that. I don't think anybody in the media that's anything close to them. We lucked out. We were blessed for a little while. So I'm trying to tell you about you and all the foolish men in this country. You look for a woman's love. You need to be looking for it to be something that saves you from the woman's love. You need to be saved from her love. And only God's Son can do that. If you sit quietly and let him catch up with you. See, you stop trying to please that woman. But the point is, there's something in her that knows that if she yells and screams, if she screams at you and debases you, you'll hate her. Because you want love from her and all these, you can't understand that in your childish way. You hate your mama. And then all of a sudden you have a love-hate relationship with your mama, which is your wife. And so what you got is original sin. You keep on trying to get love from a woman. Adam's first sin, because you've hearkened unto the voice of your wife. I get it. You're still listening to the voice of your wife. First she says nice things to you and makes you think how wonderful you are. Now but anybody who can make you feel wonderful can also put you on a pedestal, take you down from it. And that's what's going to happen. You're always looking for that which you had with her a long time ago, and you're never going to find it. All you're going to do is find hell. And that's every man listening to this program, no exceptions. Every woman does this, and there's no exceptions. They all have the same thing. They want, the good ones want something from a husband, but the husband cannot give it to her as long as he wants something from her first. And so therefore she gives it to him, and he gives herself. He accepts, he falls to the gift of sex and affection, and he's dead. He doesn't know it yet. Wait till the children come. And then she owns you through the children, because she will torture you with your virtue. You don't want to run away. You can't run away. You can't beat her. You can't do anything. All you can do is take it and get frustrated and whittled away and die. That's the story of the life. And then the prisons are full of men. The prisons are not so full of women as they are for men. They don't know how to deal with this madness. But women do not know. They don't want to know. You can't tell them this. I can't talk to a woman like I'm talking to you. There's a lot of women who can appreciate what I'm saying. There's a lot of women out there, in case you're listening. But the point is, a lot of women out there would like a man like Ronald Reagan. But you know something about Ronald Reagan? There's something about that that is like Superman. A woman can't, a real woman, he won't let the woman enter his space. I mean, she can't drag him into her space. He will draw her into his space if she can't, intimidate, she's testing your relationship with God. She's testing your relationship. She's testing you for love, for correction. That's why she's mischievous. But if you give yourself to her, she becomes more mischievous. And if you think that she's unhappy because you haven't given enough love to her, and you give more, you're making a terrible mistake. You give less to her. As a matter of fact, you give nothing. But you're there, and she said, "I want to make the dinner." You close the door one evening. Say, "Look, I'm your husband, and you're my wife." And there's different ways of doing it, because I had lots of ways of doing it. I got my wife to sit up till 3 o'clock in the morning. She was punishing me not by making my dinner. I said, "You don't punish. I work all day. I come home, and turn the kids against me. But that's not the point right now. Not making my dinner for me." So we'll just sit here for 3 or 4 days until you make dinner. That's it. And there's no fighting, no argument. And then I'm stronger than her in many ways, mentally. I can stay awake for a week. And after a while, she gets tired and she'll give in. She needs to give in. Woman needs to give in to a man, but not for force, not with cruelty, with strength, like the father she never had. The human race began with the first failing father, and it has a history of failing fathers and unloved women ever since. Hold the line a bit, and we'll talk to you some more after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, call my office, 800, I get the numbers mixed, 800-877-3227, 800-877-3227 for the books, you know, Adam and Eve Syndrome and Understanding Sexuality, and the website. Go to the website for the CD, free CD. Thank you. Well, there you are. Now, the whole program now is revolving around women must submit, will submit to a noble man, and if not, she'll curse him, but to find his weakness. And if there is no weakness, and she may... If you've had a long list history of giving in to your wife and getting frustrated, you can understand why she wants to run away to find another man, because she's milked you of all the man you've got, all the manhood you've got left. And that's why you need all those erotic drugs. What is the name of one of those erotic drugs? I can't even think of. Viagra, yeah. You need Viagra because you're afraid. You're terrified of the woman. That's why you can't do it, see? You can't. You're afraid of her after a while. You have terrible fear. So that gives you an arousal, see, and so it's not healthy. None of this is healthy. So may I suggest you understand yourself, gentlemen? I suggest, never mind. The ladies might want to have a call, because there's also a way of dealing with weak men. So we need to deal with that some other time. But the two books I recommend for you, that as long as you're using the meditation, and it's free if you call the office, Business Hours West Coast Time. It's 800-877-3227, 800-877-3227, and you ask for that. And if you want to give a donation and cover the expense of postage, that'd be nice. But you go to the website and get it free. There's also, then you can come back later on and give a donation if it works for you, if your life better, if your life gets better. But it'll get worse before it gets better, because once you start standing up for yourself, you know, the parasites, you know, lose their meal and they feel threatened. So I understand that in marriage or your friendships, see, so please. If you want to give a donation, please, a donation is very important to keep me on the air. this program of the year. There's no other program like this. No one's going to say this to you. Nobody. Because the system depends, this rotten system we've got, depends upon the wrong relationship between men and women. The failing relationship. Even the churches depend upon the failing relationship. The lie of love. Okay. That's Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Gentlemen, women need love, but you need to be saved from her love. That's right. You need to be saved from that. Not need it. You need to be the lover. Not the one that's being loved. Get it. All right, be right back.
Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Now, David, I did a lot of talking. Now I'm going to let you talk. What do you think of what I said?
Well, you know, Mr. Masters, I have started meditating.
Yes.
And I'm beginning to see my wife for what she is, and I just don't know if they're...
No, I mean, don't give up on her. Because you're part of it. Don't you understand? If it wasn't for your weakness, she wouldn't be a bitch. You're son of one. A difficult woman. Difficult women are, you know, is no hell hath no fury than a woman scorned or women love too much.
Well, I've been standing up to her, and it seems like...
No. You know, your standing up is simply not the kind of standing I'm talking about. I'm a 57 years marriage, and there's never a single moment my wife has got away with anything that I didn't know about sooner or later, and I called her on it, and I made sure there was a consequence. And even now, even lately, she's just beginning to wake up, because there's something about women you need to understand. They're all alike exactly, and men are all alike in their own way. That's why I talk to you the same way as I talk to the other fellow. You're all the same. You cower before women. You have a love relationship that is addictive. It's like a mom, a little kid going to his, having sex with his mother, basically. She's mothering your failing.
We're not having sex.
I know, but that's the result of it. No wonder, after a while, you cringe. She cringes. You run like hell. But then you have to put up with her standing up. Is not good enough. You need to find that inner strength that is unfazed by anything she does or says. Unfazed. I know it's called forgiveness. It's the power of keeping judgment. You from puffing up and hating her, and then feeling guilty and loving her, and then loving her, and then feeding yourself to her again, kiss and make up, having sex, and then wake up in the morning, and she's got a mean look on her face. See? When you thought it was all over, it starts all over again. You fed yourself to her, and you didn't know it. And so now you need to forget the sex, and learn to drop the anger. You must be the shining light. So when your wife starts to degrade you, you look at her and say, excuse me. And there's a way of dealing with a woman or anyone that will make them shrink up and make them look like they're so stupid and so... They shrivel up like into nothing. They will scream louder, and the more dignified you become and the stronger you are. And the more you shine in front of your children and say, you don't talk to me in front of those children. Now you calm down. And then everybody sees... Then the very screaming person she wants you to be, she becomes that person, and you show the contrast. Not a cringing person, a person that stands at your ground and quietly leads her into the other room and shuts the door and says, children, now don't get angry with your mom. She's not well. You must not be angry with your mother. I'm taking care of it, so don't worry. You have to teach your children not to hate their mother. Just opposite of what she's trying to do to you. She's trying to teach them to hate you. This is the sickness of the age. And psychiatrists are bereft. They're confused, dumbed down. They don't understand what I'm saying to you. You need to be the source of love to your wife, and that you must be the father she never... You've got to play the role of the father. Forget the sex now. You're going to have to be a firm, gentle father. She's never had one.
Unaffected, right?
Be unaffected, but no matter what she does. My wife's got to get up early in the morning. She got to... So, it's, in other words, she submits to me, not out of meanness, but that's right, because she wastes her energy trying to upset me, and she cannot. And she gets upset herself and renders herself self-subject automatically. And that's good. It's better that she's subject to me than she's caught up in the world. And then she does her duties the way she should. I'd rather she didn't be a Stepford wife. But that's better than, you know, being psychotic. She's not psychotic. She's not. If she's psychotic, she's psychotic to me. But at least I wanted to wake up from that. That's why I was talking to her. So now you've got to wake up from that. You got to do the right things with her. What was that?
Will I know this when I have that?
You'll know it. Yes, you'll know it. You'll know that all of a sudden it doesn't bother you, and you don't, and there's no effort. All of a sudden you find yourself. All of a sudden you see this mouth opening and closing, and all the air rushing around you, and you'll notice that you're not being bothered by it. This amazing thing when you meditate. You get that meditation. You work on it. And don't tell her what you're doing, and don't tell her you know me, because then she'll attack me. That Roy Masters, you don't want to do that. Just keep it a secret. You and me. All right, and call me back. Let me know how you're doing. I think this is a good hour. And anybody wants to disagree with me? Any liberals that want to disagree with me? Well, join in the fight. I wish you luck. You're going to need it. All right. Show numbers. It is 5533. Do you want to get a copy of this program? You can. Call 800-877-3227, business hours, West Coast time. XM 166, 10 to 2 in the morning. And FHU.com, 10 to 2 in the morning. Then you can hear this program refed.
If you're a regular listener to Roy Masters' radio program, I want to tell you a story about an old man who came to a raging river, and he stopped and began to build a bridge across. He spent many years building that bridge, toiling every single day. And then one day, a young man came, and he said, "Old man, what are you doing?"
"I'm building a bridge."
And the young man said, "Why? You could have gotten across the river. Why did you stay to build it?" He said,
"Because I knew one day someone would come that couldn't cross this raging river. So I built it for you."
Roy Masters has been building a bridge for people for almost 50 years. He's helped to change this country in ways you will never understand or know. So if you appreciate the bridge that he's built, please help him keep building the bridge for future generations. Your donations to the Foundation of Human Understanding are tax deductible. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours Monday through Friday. If you've been helped by the work Roy Masters is doing on the radio, please consider paying forward the gift you have received so others may benefit as well. The Pay It Forward program allows you to automatically donate the amount you want on a monthly basis. Even just $5 a month from people who care will make a difference. Or you can make a one-time donation and help support our radio program and website, as well as our prison ministry and Patriot Outreach program. If you'd like to contact us by mail, write to the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or call Monday through Friday, regular business hours, West Coast time, 1-800-877-3227. Again, that's the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. For more information on the Foundation of Human Understanding, visit the website fhu.com. That's fhu.com.